Hey, Jordan Poole's in town tomorrow. Do you still wish he was on the team? Let's go to Bud in Oakland. Hi, Bud. Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, as far as the kids, man, I have a 2-year-old myself. He'll be 3 coming up on the 25th. But you just have to try to find what it is that they like. And just, I mean, if you got to repeat, give it to him. Like mine, for dinner, he'll love spaghetti every night if I have spaghetti. He'll eat it all. But as far as Jordan Poole, man, what Jordan was doing was he was starting to smell himself. Jordan, he knew he came out in the same draft as Ja and the other guys. They all got their payday. And, you know, he got the championship ring before those guys, and then he got his payday, and he already knew coming out in that draft, he felt that he was as good as those guys, and he may have felt that he should have been taken higher. Granted, for him, he got taken by the Warriors, and he has the championship ring first, but that's what happened with Jordan. He started to smell himself, and you could see it in his play, and he started to tell himself, you know what, these guys need me. And that's what his play dictated, is these guys need me. You saw the way when Curry was trying to say something in when he was on the way to the bench. He, like, bumped past Curry and had this little attitude. When you have that towards the guys who paved the way for you, you're thinking bigger of yourself than the team. And that showed in his attitude and it showed in his skill set. But, I mean, we may be missing him offensively, but at the same time, man, this is something we can get past, man. We went through the We Believe years and even before that as Warriors fans. When you can go to the Oakland Coliseum and get in for, what was it, $2 Wednesdays or something like that? Yeah, so we come a long way as a fan base, man. Yep. So, you know, let's just take it in stride, and thanks for taking the call.
Bud, thank you, Bud. It's a great phone call.
Yeah.
And there is so much ingrained in NBA culture that's based on respect, and sometimes that is attached to money, and then sometimes it is attached to pecking order. And I'll give the lovely Christy credit on this one. For example, here's something that I think a lot of us thought was whimsical and fun, and she told me the first time she saw it, she went, that's going to be a problem. Want to know what it is? It's when Jordan Poole was leading the league in free throw percentage, and the other team would get a technical foul called on them, and Poole and Curry were both on the floor at the same time, and then they had this funny little thing about who's going to get to go shoot the free throw, and she's like, oh, no, that's not good. No, it's not funny. That's Steph Curry. Steph Curry shoots the free throw. Yeah. Stand down, Jordan. Now, that may not sound like a big deal.
No, I know it's a big deal.
But that's a micro point in a macro conversation, which is what Bud is pointing to. And the bottom line is, yes, I do think there were people in the Warriors organization that think that Jordan got too big for his britches. And I don't really blame him for it, because that's the NBA. When you're coming up, and you want a bag, and you want to be a one, and you think you have that in you, and someone else is blocking you from doing that, it becomes a problem.
And it is pecking order, and I'll make my second soccer analogy, and when there's a penalty, and it's going to be a penalty kick that's going to be taken, there is a penalty kick taker who takes the PK, and sometimes you have a young star who might think that it's their time to be the PK taker, and it's like, no, it's not your time. I'm the 12-year vet, and this is what I do. And so the PK taker is the guy who has more experience and more gravitas, even if it's a 3-0 game. And even if you were the one who drew the foul and, you know, you draw the foul, you think I'm going to get the PK. It's like, no, we have an order. There's an order to things. And it's the same thing with the technical foul free throw. And I do think that the bag part of it is a big one. And this is where it brings us to Jonathan Kuminga, because he saw his draft class. Now, a lot of them got the really, really big bag, and he wants the big bag. And so I do think that his year started with him maybe bag chasing, and then the last 5 games, it felt like he kind of had zeroed in on the reality of, if I play well in the right way, the bag will be there, and then he got hurt,
which
is the sad part.
Well, this is why so many of these guys, Poole struggled with it. Kuminga struggles with the idea of not starting. That's all about respect and money. It's not about, do you still get 30 minutes a night? It's about respect and money. That's it. And I remember saying to you earlier, before the punch, that the Jordan Poole thing could get wobbly. My prediction was that Jordan wouldn't necessarily want to be a Warrior anymore, because he's not caught up in the history of all this. He wasn't here for all of the first 3 championships. So when people are like, how could he not want to be a Warrior? And I'm like, because the job of number one is taken here. And he thinks that he can have that job. It's the same reason Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter broke up, is because they both were like, Vince was the one. And then Tracy became a free agent, and he was like, I'm a one. That job's not open here. Now, it ended up being a parting for different reasons, because he got whacked in the face, and then the team traded him, and it got all sideways. But I remember thinking, this is heading down a road that'll be really interesting to see what Jordan wants to do. Because, man, that's tough. Jonathan's still dealing with it.
Right.
When you think that that your head is bigger than the ceiling in the room, what do you do?
Especially when you are yet to really show it and prove it. And, you know, I've been reading through the Ramona Shelburne article on ESPN about Jimmy Butler.
It's really good.
He's a guy who's actually done it. And so their big push-pull is, a lot of it's about money. And, you know, Pat Riley's a guy who's going to dig his heels in and do the right thing with the Heat culture in mind. But at least he's a guy who's been in the league for, what, 14 years. And if you're Kuminga and you're Poole and your youngster's coming up and Poole gets the bag and now the shoulders are back and you got to bounce in your step, it's like, I'm here, I'm him.
Yeah.
And you're surrounded by Steph, Dre, and Clay, guys who've, you know, won three more rings than you and they've been doing it a lot longer. There's definitely going to be a little bit of tension in the room.
No doubt, which I firmly believe, and this is hard to say because it makes it sound like I'm victim shaming. I believe there was a lot of that tucked into what eventually happened. That is not excusing Draymond by any stretch. But I do think there was a lot of tension in the room that was based on attitudes, money, big for britches, challenging authority and establishment, all of those things I think were in the room and probably had a hand in whatever got into Draymond that caused him to do that. Christian in Fairfield next up. Hi, Christian. We thank you for the call. What are you doing?
Listening to you guys. I like everything the caller said and what you guys are saying. And to piggyback on that, he quit on his team after Draymond punched him. That's what I see. And you don't want to play with a guy that quits on their team. That's where you see what kind of player a person is when the adversity hits. He's supposed to turn up and say, I'm better than Draymond. Go out there and ball. And they want to get rid of Draymond and not him. And you see, like the guy said, Steph telling them, play ball, play ball. And he's that prima donna stuff. So, no, I don't miss Jordan Poole at all. And his numbers in Washington are skewed. Anyone in the NBA with that usage rate can get 20 a game. So he can stay over there.
Christian, thanks.
I don't know about him quitting on the team. I have a hard time with that one.
That's
because,
a big word.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it, and he played all 82, and he played 30 minutes a night. And whether or not he became too self-centered and selfish as a basketball player, we could have that conversation. But for me, when you quit on your team, that means you either fake injury or don't show up or clearly jake it and don't try. I think Jordan Poole still went out and tried. I don't know if he necessarily was trying to play the way they wanted him to play, and that might ultimately have been why he got sent out. But for me, the idea of the Q word, you got to really be sure that somebody is quitting. Devondre Campbell quit on his team.
That's a good point.
I mean, can we call that a guy who says, I don't want to play? Tyreek Hill quit on his team.
No doubt. Like, I don't like
Blake Snell quit on his team.
You can argue that. You can argue that. And I think there are some in the Giants organization who agree with you.
Yeah.
And so Blake Snell was never going to continue to be a Giant. I don't think it's great that he ended up with the Dodgers. But anyway,
that might be a lowercase Q.
Yeah, I wouldn't use I get where Kristen's coming from. I just wouldn't use that word.
Yeah.
I think that there were multiple and differing motivations. Let's put it that way.
Such a good politician.
Well, no, but that's
differing motivations.
That's what it was.
That's saying he was selfish without saying he was selfish.
Okay, but
I like what you're doing.
But you could argue that if you want to use the word selfish, you could just say that about the other side too. I'm not even telling you which side I'm on, although it's pretty hard not to when you're playing with Steph, Dre, and Clay. I think it's pretty hard to have a leg to stand on when you look at the three of them and you're like, actually, I think we should do it this way. How about that? Well, hold on a second. This is Steph, Clay, and Dre. As a fan, I'd rather people come in and sound like Buddy Hield. He walks in and he's like, this is Steph Curry. I'm going to do what Steph Curry tells me to do because that's Steph Curry. Jordan, I don't think, did that. It doesn't make him wrong. It doesn't make him a quitter, though.
Right.
Differing motivations and goals.
Yeah, it's just, you're a wordsmith. You're a politician. The way you're doing it, I mean, you could just, you can use words like selfish, quitter, choker, but you choose to say differing motivations.
Differing motivations. Yes.
You're over there painting.
Well,
I'm throwing stuff at the wall and you're over there painting with a fine tooth comb.
Numbers are numbers and words are words.
I do think that he had differing motivations. And at times, he was all they had because, you know.
For sure.
You had.
As the other guys aged. Yeah.
Right. And the other guys got hurt. And, you know, you can also look at Klay Thompson and say that he had differing motivations.
It got to that.
Right. When he was hunting his shot.
And that's why he's gone.
Yep.
Right? That's what happens. If you're not on the same page, you got to go because you are involved with a page that is well-traveled and true. This is Golden State Warrior basketball in 2025. It doesn't mean they're going to win the title this year, but you're not going to come in during the Steph Curry era and tell them to do it a different way. No, doesn't work. Steve in Stockton. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, I'm just glad. I'm glad we actually got rid of Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was a bench player at best. I don't think that he was even the second best player on that team. You walk into a room with three future Hall of Famers, and you're demanding the ball. You're demanding the night to be about you. And a lot of that has to do with the year prior when Steph got hurt, Draymond got suspended, Klay was out, and now you are that man that the weight of the game is on your shoulders. And he took care of us for that duration, but you have three future Hall of Famers on your team who have won rings, who have played to a greatness that no one else can surpass, and your head became big. You know, the punch is something a lot of people talk about. You heard Draymond's apology. But there's a reason why somebody gets punched, right? Nobody just walks up to somebody and punches somebody. And I think with a guy like Draymond, who demands respect, demands 110% when you're on the court, he is the bully and the bully captain of our team. And you come in with a big head. I think an arrogance got to him. And I think that's why he got punched. I think words were said. He challenged the captain of the team, the bull, and he got the horns. And then when you've seen during the season, you know, Steph's not really, he'll show emotion, but he's not a frustration emotion person.
Yep.
He doesn't have that show. And you've seen half court, Steph takes his mouthpiece out and slings it across the court in frustration because Jordan Poole's taking he's being guarded by two guys, Steph Curry standing at the 35-foot mark for a game winner, and Jordan Poole's taking a 40-foot fourth shot. That's the best player, the best shooter in the league, next to LeBron being the best player in the league, and you're watching him stand there wide open, and you're not feeding him the ball. That is what told me that Jordan Poole was going to be gone.
Yeah, Steve, I'm with you, especially the second half of your call. Like, all the drama, I get it. And it doesn't make Jordan in the wrong. Like, that's big ego stuff. This is the Warriors. This is the NBA. They're champions. Jordan is a champion. They've all got high abilities. They all want multi-million dollar contracts. Like, there's gonna be stuff. Think back to when David West was like, y'all don't even know what the hell went on in this locker room this year.
Well, and think about how much stuff there's been since Jordan left. Yep. There has still been stuff. Klay's entire year. Draymond got suspended for a choke and a stomp and a flail punch. And Kuminga pouted last year. So the drama didn't begin or end with Jordan Poole.
No. What I focus on when we look at this is the basketball. It's the basketball.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, I'm in the middle of a little project over here. I am on John Hollinger's NBA efficiency rankings website, and I'm scrolling.
Yeah, down? You're scrolling down?
I'm on page 5.
And you're looking for Jordan Poole?
I haven't found his name yet. It's possible that I missed it, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm on page 5. I'm going to let you know when I find it.
Okay.
I'm through 250 players.
As far as efficiency.
Efficiency ratings. And I have gone through most of the Warriors.
And this is, PER, player efficiency ratings?
Correct.
As per John Hollinger?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I just got to Harrison Barnes, who's number 260.
Yeah.
I found him.
I just got
know?
To Buddy Hield at number
268. Is he
going to
find him if he keeps scrolling, or did he miss him?
No, he missed him.
I did?
Oh, God.
Okay.
He missed him because he hates him.
He's on the very end of the second page. He's the 100th most efficient player, according to John Hollinger's PER.
What's the problem then? He's top 100.
Where did I miss him?
Yeah.
You said he's number 100?
Yeah.
See, I've got number 100 as Clint Capella.
Hmm.
Huh.
We'll have it on ESPN.com. John Hollinger, PER.
That's where I am. What's the PER number? What is Jordan Poole's number?
16.78.
Yes, 16.78. I see him now at number 122. On my list. This may include players who haven't played.
Yeah.
They haven't qualified, though.
You know I'm reluctant to do this.
Anyway, you know who he's...
I'm Team Grandy because I'm looking at and I have him at 100.
Okay, no, that's fine. Like I said, I may be on a list that includes players who have played like 5 games. Guess who he's right behind? Right behind, like just narrowly. He's at 16.78.
Kuminga!
Jonathan Kuminga's 16.79. 16.79.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who's next? Jonathan in Danville. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing? I had to call myself down because we got to put some respect on my boy Jordan's name here. And I know we're talking about after everything's said and done, Jordan. Now, we do understand when players go through things like Klay Thompson. I know it was an injury, but he never came back. And we have respect for that. And we understand that. We also appreciate what he's done. You talk about Klay having a ring, Draymond having a ring. Put some respect on the third Splash Bros name because he's got a ring. And I know that after he got hit and the entire league made fun of him, the internet went crazy, and the Warriors really didn't do a whole lot. And imagine, I don't know where you guys work, but if my assistant manager punched me in the face in front of everybody at work and was not fired, I don't think I'd want to be there either. And not to mention, I don't know about you guys, but I feel bad for some of these people's spouses where they say, well, you know, he got punched, so he must have deserved it. I don't condone those kinds of things. I remember Jordan for what he was and what he did, and that's where I'm going to keep him. It's Friday. Let's get in a happy mood. It's not that serious. It's basketball, Warrior fans. Let's get going. And again, put some respect on my boy Jordan's name.
Yeah, Jonathan, let us respond to that.
Yeah,
thank
Jonathan,
you very much.
Thank you.
First of all, everybody's happy. We're super happy.
Second of all, if my assistant manager punches me, I'll see you not on the court, but in court.
In court, exactly right.
I'm a lawyer up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody argues any of those points. What I would say back to you is that you're forgetting all of the other stuff. And that's what each person and fan gets to do. You get to remember what you want to remember. I remember what he did. I don't think when someone wins a championship, that automatically means, so now they've got diplomatic immunity. For the rest of their lives, we can have no opinions about them. You brought up Klay Thompson, and you know what you're forgetting? He got publicly torched the last year. This radio station couldn't stop taking phone calls nicknaming him Clank Thompson.
Mm.
He got absolutely dragged through the mud, I thought, last year. And he's Klay. He's an actual Splash Brother, and he doesn't have a ring. He's got 4. And 2 major injuries that he fought through. So I think there's plenty of respect on Klay's name. And honestly, I do think there's respect on Jordan Poole's name. That's where we started this conversation.
Yeah.
I love the work that he did to become a good player. I love that he contributed to a championship. I don't really dig where it went after that. Is it all his fault? 1,000% no. But to me, that can't be the whole story. Jordan works his way to be good. Jordan is good. Jordan helps win a ring. Jordan got punched. End of story. No, I just think it's a little more layered than that.
It's always more layered than that. And, you know, I always hesitate when people want to give him that Splash Brother acronym, because there are only 2 Splash Brothers. You can give him Splash Cousin, and you know, he got a water-based nickname when you talk about a pool party, which is great. And you know, he was fantastic in the championship year, and even the year after, he was good. he gets you just about 20 a night coming off the punch, and then he got traded for a variety of reasons, and I don't know how much of that stems from the punch. I do believe the majority of the reason why he got traded was an overall fit. I don't think that he fits the way he's best at playing basketball. For me, doesn't fit with what the Warriors have with Steph Curry.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And as far as, you know, being traded for a variety of reasons, I will say this, though. This is what keeps sticking in my mind. Like, when you said he was still really good post-punch, I understand that statistically we've got this marriage with the 20-point number in the NBA, and if somebody scores 20 points, they're royalty. You average 20 PPG, and I know that's hard to do. There's no doubting his skill set, which is elite in terms of this globe and people who play offense in the NBA. But I would argue that was not a good season, and I would argue it not from any particular numbers. I would argue it from the fact that, as I said earlier, that year, when I watched Warrior basketball, my phone, every single game, was lighting up with people from work and outside of work texting about how Jordan Poole drove them nuts. That's how you felt. That's how the Warrior fans felt that year.
It was frustrating.
And I think it's gotten forgotten.
Well, and I do think
or brushed over.
And, you know, numbers are always interesting when you look at them. And you were talking about the Hollinger performance rankings. And I just looked at last year. Last year, he was 237th.
No, he's better this year.
This year, he's 100th.
No question.
So, you know, better year. And the numbers are about the same. So it all depends on, you know, how much you shoot and how much you score.